to be here and to be able to share again. Today's topic is, do you have faith? Do you have faith in the impossible? Do you have faith in the impossible? Because a lot of times, you know what, we're limited by the five senses, what we see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. And yet God operates in a realm that is above and beyond our senses. And I think you're right about the speaking in tongues. You couldn't do that in your own human ability. But once the Spirit of God is created within you, the external manifestation of the reality and presence of the power of that Spirit manifests itself by way of speaking in tongues, as well as eight other manifestations of the Spirit that you can now participate in. But there was a great, probably a theologian, a teacher, a healer. His name was F.F. Bosworth. Some of you have heard his name or read about him. He made a very interesting statement. He said that most Christians feed their bodies three hot meals a day, but they feed their spirits one cold snack a week, and then wonder why they are so weak in faith. See, we take care of our physical bodies in many respects. We're so detailed about what goes into our physical bodies, we'll spend hours researching it, hours shopping for it, hours thinking about it, researching it, cooking it, preparing it, sitting down. Come on. Will we give that same kind of detailed attention to our spiritual life? You know, the Bible says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Remember? 1 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by what?
Faith.
Faith. What is faith? And do you have faith for the impossible? See? Do you think Jesus walked in the realm of the impossible? Oh, absolutely. And if you ever get a chance, I know Al and a number of people went a number of months ago to hear a gentleman, what's his name? David Gibbs. Awesome teaching. The God of the impossible. Record after record after record of people, men and women like us, who lived beyond the circumstances that they may have been faced with, they may have been challenged with. See? How do we make a success of our life? Because you know what? There's all sorts of things around us. But there is an answer. And so before I really begin the depth of this teaching, I want to play this song. It's called But God. Take your Bibles, please. Go to John chapter 9. There is no other answer but God. We may work our whole life, try everything we know within our human ability, but God. I want to share a record here this morning. And I think we're always all challenged to say, do we have the faith? Do I have the faith to believe in the impossible? Jesus, He had it. John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "As He went along, He saw a man blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And he responded by saying, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, what? I am the what? The light of the world. You know, there was no one ever healed who was permanently blind in the Old Testament. All those years, all that time, no one was healed who had been permanently blind. And yet a good portion of the miracles that Jesus did had to do with the recovering of sight to the blind. And actually, there's two records in the book of Isaiah that are prophetic messages about the coming of this Messiah, how you would be able to identify who it was, and that he would be able to open the eyes of the blind. Amazing. After saying this, he spit on the ground. Get this in your mind. He's in some type of environment where he comes upon someone who's blind. And believe you me, he didn't come there by accident. God had his steps ordered right along the way, and here he comes. And he did this, he spit on the ground. And he made some mud with the saliva and he put it on the man's eyes and he said, go on, wash in the pool of Siloam. So the man went and washed, and guess what? He came home seeing. You think there was cause for celebration in that gentleman's life? I would assume he wasn't a young man, which meant he spent the greatest majority of his adult life not being able to see. He washed. He followed. He was obedient to the instruction of what Jesus... Had he ever met Jesus before? No. But here comes Jesus with this God-directed vision to minister wholeness to a man born blind. Now, to help you visualize it, and some of the things that happened following that particular healing, I have another video that I'd like to share and show you at this time that will help to maybe dramatize it a little bit more for you, where you'll get even greater depth saturated in your heart, okay?
Judgment, I am coming to this world that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind.
Mm-hmm. Are we blind also?
If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore is sin remaineth.
That's a beautiful presentation, wasn't it? Just to dramatize it and bring it to life, this is real life happening. Now we take the place of the absent Christ. May not be identical to that, but we have opportunities. Everywhere we go, it's like Christ being there. When I touch with the touch of Christ, do you have faith in the impossible? Do you have faith to heal the sick? You know, I think we build it up so big in our minds that it almost becomes so untouchable. I'll tell you a little incident that happened to me a number of weeks ago. I had somebody call me I'd been in touch with in quite a number of months, and said, I'm asking you to come over to the ICU because my girlfriend, my significant other, is on the verge of death. And she's at Grossmont Hospital in the ICU. I mean, and I'm begging you, could you please come over here? And so, you know, within an hour or so, I pulled it together and got over there. And this lady's a 32-year-old heroin addict who's been homeless, living on the street in El Cajon for who knows how long. I got a bacterial heart infection from using dirty needles, because heroin addicts and addicts of this type go and find needles wherever they can find them and use them and that sort of thing. So she got a bacterial heart infection, which then led to a couple of strokes, which then found her in the ICU ward at Grossmont Hospital. So this is the situation that I'm walking into. You know what I say? But God. But God. Because that situation is so much bigger than me, so much bigger than my life, but it's not that big for God. And He's enabled me and made me capable and able through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I didn't know exactly what to do. I mean, went in there, she was on a respirator. She was in a medically induced coma, laying in ICU. I mean, by the five senses, you're looking at the thing like, oh my God, she's like gonna die quickly. So I just did what any one of us would have normally have done, is I laid my hands on her, and this other gentleman there was with me. He hasn't really been, I guess what you would call a committed Christian, standing and all this, whatever. But you know what? His heart was in the right place at that moment. And it just shows you, God is not a respecter of persons or conditions or your behavior or a zillion other things. But the grace of God and the love of God extends down in so many different situations, as we all know and we've been touched. So I laid my hands on her and I just said, Father, thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, I minister to these infections that are afflicting her and the issues and the problems and on and on. You know, because I'm thinking, God, 32 years old, heroin addict, homeless, on the street. It's like, oh, that's, it just makes your heart ache. And then this happened in a period of 10 minutes. And then he went out and wanted to smoke a cigarette or whatever. And so I stood there with him while he had a cigarette, and we'd kind of caught up a little bit. And I said, well, I'll catch you later. You know, I'll talk to you later. And so then it's been about, he hasn't been really, calling me every day, and I haven't been calling him every day, but, God put it on my heart the other day just to reach out to him and say, hey, how's it going? It's been like a month or whatever. He said, well, I'm still here in town. I'm living on I'm sleeping on a buddy's couch. And this lady, her name's Kristen, she said she had some type of surgeries. She survived all the surgeries. And she is doing so much better that the doctors say it's a miracle. And actually, they're going to be releasing her from the hospital in the not too distant future. And my prayer, and I solicit your prayers for this lady, is that she has seen the light. That she was blind, but now she sees. Just like the blind man here. See? And it's not about me. It is about God Almighty, because me and myself and I are like, whatever. I couldn't. But here's a situation that just kind of comes into my life unexpectedly. And so I just, I had a heart to love people and to help and to serve. And here was an opportunity. And I didn't know what to say. I mean, probably my heart was beating all the way over to the, the hospital. You're thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? I don't know anything. But then I started, I'm going to speak in tongues about it. I'm not going to try to overthink this thing. I'm just going to start speaking in tongues. And so as I spoke in tongues, I believe intercession was perfectly made for this lady, the other gentleman, and for myself to kind of pave the way to get in there. It wasn't like she just rose up from the bed and ripped out the respirator and said, yeah. It's been a progressive thing. But I'm so thankful. I just heard this yesterday. And he said, she's going to be released. The doctors say, it's a miracle. And I'm thinking, oh, yes, it's a miracle. It is an absolute miracle. And I will look forward to meeting this girl. Hopefully she would be interested in meeting with me at some point in time. Wow. Yeah. Yeah, so amazing. But that's how good our God is. That's why when these songs come up where we praise God, lift our hands, and I know we're all kind of evolving and growing into that, but you know what? I just see different people kind of expanding and growing, and it's not like no condemnation because you don't raise your hand or whatever. You celebrate and praise in your own way, you know? But for me, it's enabled me to kind of break through some comfort zones and some barriers of, you know, what will other people think? And what do I look like? I'm up there, woo. It's not about me. It's about what does Almighty God think about me as I'm holding my hands up there and I'm praising Him and I'm not performing in front of people. See? Once we get to that point where we lose more of self and just open our hearts up to God, then you know what? It's a new day. I was blind, but now I see. See, what does it take? It took that blind man getting up one step towards the pool of Siloam. He's holding on to the wall or however he got there. I was blind, but now I see. He took those steps. He took those steps. See. And so the question then always resounds in our mind. Do I have faith in the impossible? Do I have confidence that God is able to bring the deliverance, the wholeness, the healing, the finances, the prosperity, the whatever it is? And the more I step out and see that God comes through, the greater my faith is. See? And when I tell testimonies and you tell testimonies, it inspires us to have greater faith. It inspires believing in others. Even if you just say, hey, it worked for Barney, maybe it'll work for me. And as you take that step, then you know what? God and you are there together in that situation. We won't go through this whole record again in John chapter 9. That did a pretty good job of it. But Jesus had his antagonists. They brought in the Pharisees. They brought in his parents. They brought in the neighbors. And all these people, because they did not believe in the impossible ability of God Almighty. And yet, in the Bible, it says that that same power that resides in Jesus, that God raised him from the dead. Where is it? In you. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. In you. All right? Nine manifestations of Holy Spirit. God in Christ. He energizes the Spirit of Christ within you so you can walk in victory, in power. Woo! Can I get a hallelujah? Yeah. Amen. He's in 1 Corinthians 5:7. It says, for we walk by what?
Faith.
Faith. Faith. Faith. Not by sight. Not by sight. You look at the sight. Look at the bills. Look at the whatever. That's sight. How are we ever going to do this? How are we ever going to pay these bills? Oh. And then I think, God is the God of the impossible. And what seems like an impossibility to me, to God, is just like, whatever. See? Let's just talk about it a little bit. Let's just have a little dialogue here. Mike missed the opening, but I was telling everybody how talented they were. What quality of individuals they are. What wonderful, gracious, loving, beautiful, wonderful, awesome believers you guys are. That's really the truth of what the Word says about us. Need to believe it. I need to believe it. You do too. It's who we are. It's our identity. It's what God gave Christ for. For us, He loved us so much, He's empowering us with this spiritual energy to be blessed and be victorious in life. We walk by faith, not by sight. Someone once said, feed your faith and your doubts will starve to death. Feed your faith. Feed your faith. Forget about the doubts, the accusations. Stand in the middle of the storm and say what the Word says. In 1 Thessalonians 5, it says, in everything give thanks. Everything. That means when you have cancer? That means when you have a serious disease? When that means you can't walk across that street? You know what it says? In everything. And you know what happens then? You get the answers. You know why? Because praise works. Praise confuses the enemy. The devil doesn't want you thinking and praising and being thankful to God. He wants you all wrapped up in yourself, your problems, your world. That's the beauty of speaking in tongues. It's perfect praise. So wherever you are, whatever is going on in your life right now, thank God that you are where you are right now. Okay? And offer thanksgiving and praise to God. If something's going weird in your life right now, well, you know what? You analyzing it and trying to figure out why you got to that place isn't going to change it. Okay? Peter and Paul are in prison. What did they do? Prayed. And the gates of the prison doors opened and they didn't even walk out. They stayed there. God is the God of the impossible. This is the God who brought manna. This is the God that parted the Red Sea. This is the God that gave the Ten Commandments. And then when Moses got so ticked off that he broke them, he gave them again. This is the God that works with us. Day by day, moment by moment, with all of our weaknesses. But that means nothing to God. Oh, you want to get into a little thing here now about who's the weakest? Who's the weakest of them all? I mean, okay, you got problems. Woo! That doesn't define you. Failure is not a person, it's an event that happens. And if nothing else, it spurns you on to greater success. Michael Jordan said something like, 99% of all the shots that I made, there was like 9,000 that I missed. Okay? But if we keep at it, we keep steady, we keep focused, we keep practicing throwing those darts, you know, we're going to hit the bullseye eventually. Right? But we don't give up. We don't give up because we've got this God. We've got this Jesus Christ. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Amen? Yeah. Wow. In Hebrews 11:1, I love this verse. Hebrews 11:1. Praise confuses the enemy. He doesn't know what to do when he's throwing all these obstacles at you, all these circumstances. What? They're still praising God? In the middle of all that, there's nothing I can throw at these people? Maybe even make them afraid of dying? Well, I guess, you know, the truth is, you die, I die, my next waking moment's to return anyway. Right? Not that I want to die, but anytime soon, but that's the reality of it. So it takes all the fear out of dying. In Hebrews, it talks about that. That Jesus delivered them who were all their lifetime subject to bondage through what? Fear of death. That's a big one out there. God covered that too. Anyway, here we are, Hebrews 11. I'm reading now the NIV. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. New Living Testament says, faith is a confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance about the things we cannot see. Or how about the Aramaic says, faith is the persuasion concerning those things that are in hope as if they, in fact, had happened. See? That's our life. We have to walk forward in faith. See? We can't call things that are as though they are not. We call things that are not as though they are. And there is a big difference. You look at your finger and you say, you know what? I just broke my finger. My finger's not broken. My finger's not broken. Really? Then why do I still have a broken finger? See? But what I can say is what the promise of the Word is in regards to my broken finger. See? I don't say what's currently going on as if it's not happening. But what I do bring is the knowledge and the wisdom and the guidance and the revelation of God to the situation. We walk by faith, not by sight. Believing is the title deed of things. Remember we heard this? Believing is the title deed of things prayed for. The evidence that they are yours when? Before you receive them. Jesus was walking in faith, right? With the blind man. Other records. Go through them. You know them. I'm preaching to the choir here, guys. Faith. Faith. Faith in the impossible. Faith in my ability? Well, no. But faith that I can partner with God to assist bringing the impossible into manifestation. So if Leanne and I are walking down the street together and we happen to maybe come across a situation, my sense, knowledge, information might just be to run completely in the opposite direction. I do not want to touch that with a 10-foot pole. And God's nudging me. Get involved. Well, I don't know what to do. We sound like Moses. You know? I don't know what to say. I can't even say it good. That's not the criteria. The criteria is that you are already qualified in Christ because the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. It's in you. So, we have the faith to walk and to see the impossible. That's the realm that God lives in. See? Where we walk by faith, not by sight. Amen? Amen? All right, Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful Word of God that feeds our faith, Father. Help us to starve to death those doubts in our heart. Thank you for opportunities to walk with you, Father, to see the reality of your spoken Word, the beauty of all that you've called us to be a part of this majestic, awesome body of Christ, and that each part fits together exactly the way it needs to, Lord, that it does ultimately bring glory and honor to your name. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Amen.